last week and the week before, Sue and I were at our Missions Leaders Conference in Colorado, and equally as intense, and lots of really good things happening. One of the things we discovered, of course, they're always talking about the number of vineyards we have around and what countries they're in, and we were, one of our guys, Jim Poole, was talking and saying, he works a lot with the churches in Africa, and he was mentioning that there are two vineyard churches in Djibouti, where Jeff is. And so I got the pastor's email address and have contacted Jeff to say, hey, while you're there, if you want to check out the vineyard church near you, that's how you do it. So anyway, it is kind of fun to know that the family is kind of going around the world, and really an exciting thing, lots of really good challenges for us. And with this, similar to this word that was given at the worship conference, one of the things that was spoken to us is to be moving forward and anticipating the work of the kingdom. And so that's what I wanted to look at this morning, because that was a really powerful way of looking and reminding ourselves of what are our roots, where are we going. And so we want to look at that. And so anticipating the kingdom is the title for this morning. And in the notes, I'm just saying it was very real. It was very powerful, but it was also subtle, almost hidden. Much like Jesus' birth, the breaking in of the kingdom rule of God came at an unanticipated time, in an unanticipated place, and through a totally unanticipated means. The Son of God became flesh. Tiny human baby, frail, needy, awesome, and ushering in God's radical age of grace. It's still the same today in our daily lives. The kingdom is easily unanticipated, unknown, unnoticed, and largely unaccessed. It's time for change. So let's look in Luke's gospel this morning at the several passages that talk about the kingdom, which we refer to often, but I want us to look at these five things, and then I want us to get practical this morning. There's always something good about being practical, I think. And so number one, let's look in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 34. Not what we would normally be reading in October, but let's read these verses together that are so familiar. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." So, as I was reading that this week, one thing really popped out to me was Mary's question in verse 34, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" What is she really asking? How is this going to be? And I think her question is, when the angel says, "You'll be with child." And when you read through this passage, and I'd never really seen this before, Mary's thought processes came to a screeching halt when the angel said, "You'll be with child." She's a teen, pledged to be married, but a virgin. When she heard, "You will be with child," I think everything else the angel said became wah, 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 and Mary was stuck on, "I'm going to be pregnant?" And so the question she asked the angel goes all the way back to one of the first things he said to her, "You will be with child." Mary was so shocked that the other amazing things, "You'll call him Jesus, and he'll be the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." None of that entered. She just got stuck over here. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I think when God speaks to us, when God gives us direction, we're all like Mary. What? Who, me? Huh? You want to do what? You want me to do where? And our thoughts stop at our own inabilities, all the things that disqualify us, make us not capable of doing what the Lord is asking us to do. And we get stuck on the initial announcement, and we get the details kind of get lost in the process. And so it's encouraging to me because, you know what? If Mary couldn't take it all in all at once, then there's hope for the rest of us. I mean, she did a pretty good job, actually. But the initial announcement just came as too much information, and she just kind of had to tune the rest of it out and just get past this initial thing, which the angel had to explain to her. But what I want us to look at in these verses is when the angel says in verse 33, his kingdom will never end. The kingdom of this son to be born of to Mary and Joseph, Jesus, the Son of the Most High, his kingdom will never end. That means in October of 2014, Jesus' reign continues. The kingdom is present. It never ends. It is for eternity. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and he will be on the throne of his father David forever. And so we have this kingdom theology, this understanding that God has established his rule and reign forever. So here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still in this age where we see that the kingdom of God is present and it is eternal. Number two, it's an invited kingdom. And I don't think I've ever noticed it quite this way before. But in Luke chapter 11, when we get to what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, and I almost was going to try an experiment this morning. If I started, you know, saying, let's say together the words the Lord taught us to say, I wonder how many of us would have been able to recite the Lord's Prayer. We don't do it often, but those words were, you know, those words just immediately would kick in. This is the time to recite the Lord's Prayer. And so in my Baptist upbringing, we would often have the pastor right in the middle. I think sometimes they did it just to see if we were still awake. But they would do this, and immediately we all started reciting the Lord's Prayer. But in Luke 11:2, Jesus is instructing the disciples how to pray because they asked him, how do we do this? We see you doing it. How do we do it? And so he said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. Bring your kingdom. It's a prayer. And so number two, it's an invited kingdom. Jesus came. The kingdom broke in. And yet Jesus is instructing his disciples, when you pray, pray that, Father, may your kingdom come. And so there's a sense in which, while the kingdom has broken in, there's a sense in which we also invite it to break in afresh, anew, or maybe it's just restoring our perspective that the kingdom is here. God's rule and reign is present, is current, and we're needing to remind our own selves, our hearts, our wayward thinking, etc., that this kingdom is present. It's now. It's here. And so we invite it to come, just like we ask the Holy Spirit to come. We say, come, Holy Spirit. And we have one of our worship songs says, even though you're here, now come. I mean, we're inviting his presence to be with us, to be manifest. And I think it's more, not that he's not here until we say that, but it's more like we're opening ourselves up. We're saying, we're going to give time now to receive what you've got for us because we recognize that you're here and you're here in power. And it's one of those things that we amazingly can take for granted as charismatic believers, as believers in the totality of the gifts of the Spirit for today. It's so easy for us to just go on like, well, that doesn't happen. You know, the healings and the miracles and the deliverances, and, you know, it's like, well, we don't talk about that much and we don't really do much. And yet we fully believe that those things are possible. And I think part of not anticipating those things means we don't see them. And in other parts of the world, when there's a real desperation, a raw desperation, I would say, when people ask the kingdom to come, they see a lot more than we do because they're asking for it. They're saying, Lord, please, we really need you to come. We really need you to intercede. We need you to come and manifest yourself and show your power. And so I think there's a sense in which, as the Lord instructed his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, that's a good prayer for us on a regular basis. May your kingdom come. Would you show the power and the glory of your kingdom in our midst, and in our lives and in our circumstances and in the world around us? So it's an invited kingdom. Number three, it's a searched for kingdom. And this is the hidden part of it, I guess. In Luke chapter 12, I love this as we look at this. In Luke 12, verses 31 through 32, these verses we know, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So, but he says, seek the kingdom. And isn't it interesting? What is the passage? What has Jesus just been talking about? He's been talking about, don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll eat and what you will drink. Consider the ravens, etc. Consider the flowers of the field, how much they grow and they're beautiful, and they don't worry, they don't fret. And so immediately after that, he says, seek his kingdom. And so I see in this, when Jesus tucks that little phrase, seek the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well, it's just his way of saying, here's the solution to all worry, all frustration, all anger. Seek the kingdom. Go to that place where in your thinking and in your heart and in your soul you recognize, you know what? This kingdom is a forever thing, and it's present and it's powerful right now. It's not, oh, those are the glory days and we wish that those glory days would come back. No, the kingdom is still here. It's still powerful and it's still present. And Jesus says, if you seek it, all the other things that you're currently worried about will be given to you as well. So we need to orient our hearts around looking for and anticipating the manifestation of the power of the kingdom. And then we will have all these other things that we are so caught up with and so worried about and so fearful about, because as soon as we stop anticipating the kingdom, as soon as we stop looking for the kingdom, then I think our answer always comes in our own flesh. And do you remember what Paul said to the Galatians? You foolish Galatians, are you trying to finish in the flesh what was begun by the Spirit? In other words, you might as well just give it up, because that is not going to work. You can't do this life just with the power of your own intelligence and the power of flesh. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit to do this for you. And so it's a searched for kingdom. Seek the kingdom. That'll eliminate all worry. That would be the end of all, probably most headaches and most ulcers and many other physical conditions that come along with being worried and upset and fully fretful and stressed out. Maybe heart attacks would disappear too. That would be really an amazing thing. So we need to lead by example. And then number four, it's an inside us kingdom. In Luke 17, verses 20 through 21, 20 and 21. Luke says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. So it's this forever kingdom that God has introduced. Its power and reign came with Jesus. It's an invited kingdom that we ask to come. We ask it to manifest itself. We want to see that power. We have to seek it. And I think that is going back also to the fact that we are so easily distracted. We're at peace, but it doesn't take much to get sidetracked and to, I don't know how many times it's happened to me, and maybe it's never happened to you, but just totally at peace, and all it takes is one little piece of information and suddenly your peace is shattered and you're racing off into worry and fret and fear and anxiety and all the rest. And is this book, the Genesee Diary, that we will be discussing this afternoon. Henry Nguyen, who was a professor, Catholic professor at a university, very busy writing articles, doing interviews, teaching, doing all those things, chose to take 7 months to put himself in a monastery and just to get away, to get rid of all the external trappings and try to get his relationship with God solid. And at times it's extremely humorous because I see myself too, you know, there are so many times he wants the simplicity. As soon as he gets to the simplicity of not having all those external demands, he begins to fret that he's going to be forgotten. Nobody needs me, nobody's thinking about me, nobody's sending me letters. And so he says when he first goes, he's not going to write any letters, he's not going to watch news, he's going to stay away from all that, he's just going to focus on his relationship with the Lord. And then he begins a feverish letter writing campaign, largely fueled by, if I don't write to them, they're not going to write to me and they're going to forget about me. And so he fights with himself during these 7 months, and that's really an exciting thing to read through and to realize, well, not so exciting sometimes when you realize how close you are to his experience. But it is good to remind us that we need to seek the kingdom. We need to remind ourselves whose we are and that we don't live by our own strength and our own abilities, but we live this life because God has given us this life. And here in Luke 17, when Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is within you. So part of the seeking of the kingdom is what Nguyen was trying to do, is look inside and say, what has God done? What has God established in here? How is the rule and reign of God now a present reality? How do I live in the sense that God is totally in charge, he's in control, he loves me, and he is actively pursuing my best interest. He is doing what I want. Even though from a human perspective we go, well, it doesn't seem to me that God is doing anything. And so that goes back to when Jesus said, seek the kingdom. Get our hearts back to the reality that God is in charge, and that sets our hearts at peace. And then when our hearts are rightly related to God, all these other things we've been worrying about just kind of line up, just kind of fall into place. And all those other wayward ducks that never seem to stay in a row just kind of line up. And the problem is we just have a hard time staying there, or at least I do. And then number 5, in Luke chapter 22, it's a bestowed kingdom. At the Last Supper, Jesus is with his disciples, and he's told them that my favorite verse, I so greatly desire to eat this meal with you. And in verse 29, this amazing thing, he says, I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me. I confer on you, I bestow a kingdom on you just as my Father conferred one on me. So Jesus is drawing his disciples, and therefore us, into this place where I give you a kingdom. I confer it on you. The power and the authority of the kingdom comes, and it dwells, and it is active, and it's effective in doing the things that God has purposed for it to do. All the things that Jesus did, that he told his disciples, you're going to do greater things than I've done. Because the power and the authority that is in the kingdom, in this rule and reign of God, is greater than you can imagine. And so Jesus says, you've been amazed at the things you've seen me do, and the storms I've quieted, and the demons I've cast out, and the dead that I've raised to life. You're amazed at all those things. In John, Jesus says, you'll do greater things than these, because my Father is with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And so it's also a bestowed kingdom. Then we've, as disciples, as believers and followers in Jesus, we have this kingdom, this amazing, powerful, somewhat hidden kingdom should activate the way we live. And so we don't live like others. We live, it says, we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go back and let's seek the kingdom again. Let's anticipate that what God has planned, what God has ordained for us, we can walk in, not because we're so good, we're so smart, we're so submitted, or we're so holy, but that the intention is that the kingdom is always moving forward, And if we want to be a part of this kingdom, we need to see what's going on in the kingdom. And somehow we need to get our eyes off of what is happening around us in our society and in the world, because if you just watch evening news, you would really get the impression that God has truly moved away and has totally forgotten about us, because we just hear one piece of bad news after bad news after bad news. And yet in the kingdom, and this, I think this is the focusing that we did at our missions retreat, and I think probably what happened at the worship leaders retreat, there was this focus on the kingdom, the powerful presence of the kingdom. And yes, those other things are happening, but what is more important and what is more powerful than these terrible things that are happening around us, the kingdom is still moving forward. And so as we focus, that's what we can anticipate in the kingdom, is that God will continue to show us his purposes and bring us into a place of greater understanding of the power of the kingdom and our ability to cooperate with God as he moves the kingdom forward. And so the practical part, I've realized, you know, as we sit here this morning, we have within our hearts burdens and fears and anxieties and frustrations and sadness, where we would really like to see the kingdom do something. We would like to see the action of the powerful kingdom of God move in to those circumstances. Am I right? It'd be really nice to see something and say, God is at work here. He's doing this. This is what we believe. This is our confession. And so I think we can anticipate, as we pray for the kingdom to come, that the Spirit will come with a manifestation of this power, and he will touch those circumstances which seem impossible, overwhelming, ugly, terrifying, whatever we're experiencing. And we can know that power at work in us on the 12th of October, 2014. So that's kind of what I'd like us to be able to spend some moments doing here. If we've got a situation where, you know, if you're living through a situation, you would really like to see the power of the Spirit at work in you, whether it's a response to prayer for healing, for whatever it is that we find ourselves incapable. We just wait and we ask the Lord to show us. But let's, as a practical experiment this morning, let's invite the Lord to come, invite his kingdom to manifest itself in a way that speaks directly to a situation we're living in. So, but for that to happen, we need people to say, you know what? I'll receive prayer for whatever it is. So can we just, we know each other fairly well. Can we do that this morning? Can we just take time to pray over specific things and anticipate the Lord to come and show his power that we believe in? Instead of just singing about it and giving lip service to it, let's anticipate that God will come and do what he says he will do. So, can we do practice at this point? All right. Yeah, I think this is important for us to say, you know, instead of coming in every Sunday and leaving, and the issues don't seem to go away, my heart problems don't seem to stop, the health issues don't seem to change, let's anticipate that the Lord will come and do a work here this morning. Father, would you increase our faith to anticipate this kingdom, that it would come? And we ask you to come. So let's exercise our faith. If you would like us to pray that the kingdom would manifest in a certain situation, come up and let's gather around and let's just believe God. Let's do this. Let's believe that God is going to do this. So.
Because I know who I am.